Bruchim Abayim to the fourth and continuing series of Shi'urim on HashkafaCircle.com, which are entitled The Oral Tradition of the Written Law. Last time, we spoke about how the two methods of what we would call redaction of the written text of the Chumash are piagvua, if you Moshe Rabbeinu. How, in fact, actually, this was done in two different ways. Chazal understood this as expressed in the dispute, the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in Gittin Daf Samach Amud Aleph, that there is according to Rabbi Yochanan, Moshe Rabbeinu redacts oral texts which he apprehends through his nevuah, in much the way as, for example, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, redacted previous texts of Mishnayos forming the Mishnah, which is the basis of the Gemara. According to Reish Lakish, we have actually the creation of a text, and this is in fact actually akin to what we identified in the Gemara in Tesvavim and Beis and Tfura, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehoyada, were in fact actually a textless oral tradition which communicated from Rebbe to Talmud, creates, in fact, a text which, and then the Tirish B'Alpeh, the oral law, is now transmitted through a text which can be used by several people, and hence begins a process of interpretation. So, I'm summarizing everything that came up before last week. So last week we actually saw how these two concepts of an oral tradition, which leads up to a text, either through redaction or through, as I called text creation, actually was understood by two of the Gedolei Machshava, Reb Tzadik and the Gaon, in understanding the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu's Devua, that is, what is the definition of Das, as is known, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Soid Hadas. And, in fact, Rav Tzadok, in describing Moshe Rabbeinu's Devua, we understood as being something which was akin towards the Reish Lakish type of redaction of text. As Rav Tzadok understood that really, in fact, das, which looks to be mezavik, which we can understood to be a type of redaction between the two spheres of Chachma and Bina, and of course, this Chachma and Bina are things which actually have to be apprehended in some type of a perceptual way, as Reb Tzadok explains. The concept of abstraction, which is the Kabbalah of the Ari, is in a certain sense, in a higher sheresh, nelem from Moshe Rabbeinu, b'bchinas chacham odif minavi. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has to deal with things which are at hand, which we can understand to be texts at hand, and in redacting these texts through the b'china of das, then in fact this defines the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how we understood Rav Tzadok last time. The Gra, on the other hand, in his Perush of the Satan Tzmeosa, understands the Zivug through Das of Chachma and Bina in a totally different way, as we'll see in a little while. We actually began speaking about that last time. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in his introduction to the Goyin's Perush on the Satan Tzmeosa, there writes clearly that in fact the Teras HaNista was in fact an oral tradition, and at one point in history, all of the secrets, all the nistarim of the Teras HaNista were actually placed and hidden in a text called the Safa Ditzneosa. And that all the Zoyas of the Rashbi afterwards are in fact Gemaras which come to elaborate and to bring out the secrets of the tradition as they are encased and embedded within the text of the Safa Ditzneosa, just as the Gemara in the Teras HaNigla, comes to bring out the important elements and understandings of the Teresh Bialpeh, which are embedded in Rebbe's Mishnah. So therefore, in other words, Chaim Voloshiner says that this is in fact actually what the Goyim tried to do in this Peos Sanf, this answer. The Goyim was trying to recover this oral law that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Notice that the Goyim here is arguing directly on Gav Tzedek HaKohen, that in fact the Kabbalas Ha'ari has its foundation in the Torah that was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, just as the Torah Shebechsav and the Torah HaNigla, so to the Torah HaNista. And the purpose of the Limud of this Mishnah, of the Safta Desneosa, is intended to recover this oral law, this oral tradition of Torah HaNista, of the Kabbalah, of the secrets of the Torah, and to continue this tradition from the time that it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. This is what Rav Chaim Voloshiner says. Now, the fact is, how did Rav Chaim Voloshiner know this? Of course he knew this. He was a Talmud of the Gur. But I want to claim that not only did he know this, in fact, through his connection to the Talmud of the Gur, but I want to claim the Gur himself says this outright in the very beginning of the Safa Ditznayosa. So if you look in the traditional text at the top of the Sneosa, and the first daf is daf Aleph, I'll call it daf Aleph, Amud Aleph, actually, right, daf Amud Aleph. And there, the Gur, in a Perush, which is really, in fact, a tour de force, so the Safa Ditznayosa begins, which says, Tana, Safa Ditznayosa, Safa Ditshakla, Miskala. I'm not going to here give a shirin Kabbalah, Chas v'shalom. But what is Safra? Safra is referring to the Sefer. So, the Gur says that, what is a Sefer? A Sefer, says the Gur, I'm in the second paragraph of the Gur, Diba Maskel Safra, says the Gur, Sefer hu gilui hamachshava. A Sefer is something which reveals one's thoughts. Shamachshavu sasim ba'adam, because a person's thoughts are hidden in his, hidden inside of him, right? And it can be revealed in one of two ways, says the Gur. They can be revealed through his speech, or they can be revealed through what he writes. Right? And then the Gur speaks about that the Ein Sof is Mizgala, right? In the world. And he goes to the creation of the world. He brings the Sefer Yetzirah, which says that the world was created, Uboras Eilama, because Baal created the world, B'Sefer, Sapa, V'Sipur. He created the world with three things, Sefer, Sapa, and Sipur. And says the Gur, right? So, says the Gur, V'Nyonu Shnei Svarim, V'Sipur, right? So what is? So we have two svarim. Two svarim means samach pereish. There's sefer and sapa, and then we have what's called sipur with a vav between the pei and the reish. I guess it's also your two. So he says, why sipur? Ki adibu pam achen is galim machshavasoi. In other words, sipur speaks about an oral communication. That's what sipur is, right? The sapel means to speak verbally. Okay. But with Sefer, which means without the Vav, Sefer and Sapar. So the revelation of a person's thought occurs in two stages. Right? What are two stages? Echa, stage number one, and that there corresponds to what he calls Sefer. Kishakoizib is Gamach Shavasib Ba'olam. A person writes something in a text, in a book, right? And that's called Sefer. Avaladayin Sosib Sefer, but the text is in the manuscript, but there's no one there to interpret it. Ucheni, the second stage is kishakoyin asefas nizgala. But then when a person reads it, and that's going to be what's called sapar, right? That's when a person reads it, and then a person's thoughts, which are in print, or, right, are written down, are now revealed to the reader. That's the second stage. But aval b'dibor, koilu shenem b'pamachas, but through dibor, the process is immediate. In other words, One person is between the other person. There's not actually a two stages, which are marked by a write, an act of writing and an act of reading and interpretation. That's the Goyin says. And the Goyin identifies these with Chochma Bina Badas. Now, I don't want to go through the entire Gor. You're welcome to do so if you want. But I understand the Gor, the following thing. In other words, Sipur's Das. So you have Sefer, which is Chochma, that reveals the knowledge, right, in a written form, in a text. Sapa is the person who reads the text. He reads the text and he interprets it. It's an act of hermeneutics. But therefore, when these things come together, Das, of course, is Mezabe, Chochma, and Bina. When these things come together, you get Das. What's Das? Das is actually Dibor. It's speaking. Which means what I understand the Gor saying is that when a person takes a text and reads it, what does he do? He recovers. He connects to the oral transmission as if he's actually speaking to the author of the work. That's how I understand what the Gor is saying here. So in other words, what the Gor is saying in this Perush on Safra, which is the first, second word of the Safra Nesneyasa, first word is Tana, then it says Safra, that in fact, actually, the Safra that's Nesneyasa is the Sefer, and the interpretation of which will bring the Gor, right? The actual text is the Sefer, that's Chochma. The Gor, who reads and learns and interprets it, that's Sapa. I think Sapa actually means to count. They're called Sefer, and you count the words. The Goyin only counts the words, he counts the letters. Right? And then, and this act brings about what's called Das. Das is Mezavek, Chochman, Bina, Sefer and Sapa, and you get Sipa. What Sipa? Sipa is Dibor, which means we now recover the oral tradition, and the Gor through this connects with the old tradition, with the Teresh Belfer as it's transmitted orally from Rebbe to Talmud up to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how I understand the Gor's Perush over here. And that's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner was writing. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was writing that the Gor understood this as a Mishnah, the interpretation of which recovers and places us within the dialogue and the oral transmission of Teras HaNista from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's exactly what the Gor is doing here. What the Gor is doing here is that Das takes a written text and a written tradition and converts it into an oral tradition which connects us with the oral tradition which preceded, which created the text in the first place. That's my understanding of the Gor's Perush, and that's my understanding of how Rav Chaim Volozhiner understood what the Gor was doing in his Perush on the Safra Nesneyasa. Okay? So this is a very, very interesting thing. So in other words, what do we have in the Gor? Now of course the Gor is speaking about the Gor begins, and the Sefer Yetzirah, of course, speaking about the creation of the world. And the Gor applies this to the text of the Safra Nesneyasa. But actually, in fact, this concept of textual interpretation is in fact actually universal, because if you look in the Hagor on the bottom, the Gor writes there that this process of Sefer, Sapar, and Sipur, Chabad, Chochabir Vadas, is actually the process through which the Torah was revealed at Sinai. So in other words, this is on the Hagor at the very bottom.
The Hagor?
What? The Gor, yeah.
And what is it? What's the Lashon of the Hagor?
The Gor is that this also by Matan Torah too. The Gor explains, right? And through this, through the Gimel Sforim, Nasan HaTorah, the Gor Shmoch gave the Torah. But the Gor on the bottom.
They carry the whole Shir. That
Haggah. That Haggah, right. Okay. Right. The Haggah is, I'll read the Haggah, since Rabbi Sedley sings this week of the entire Shir. So the Gor says, in Sifkan Aleph, Ve'aydeh Chabah, Shen Gimel Sforim, and through Chabah, which is three Sforim, Shalom Mishkavai, so the balance, Niva Oilam, Vayodah, Ayodayim, and through them, Nasan HaTorah. The Kosh Boge and the Torah, and then the Goyin speaks about the Luchais, etc., etc. In other words, Chabad represents creation of the world, the giving of the Torah, and the interpretation of text. In other words, the Gula is just telling us how we think and how we connect with the tradition. Right? No Kibra proofs. This is real tradition. So, in other words, what we have over here is an important thing, because the Gula here is speaking about creation ex nihilo. What the Gula is saying is that the text is created ex nihilo from an early, from a, not ex nihilo, but from the Platonic. Platonic, that we have a creation of the text from what people would think is an amorphous matter to something which takes shape, but this is the creation of a text from an oral tradition. This is what the Gula is speaking about.
Say that again.
Okay.
Creation ex nihilo without the ex nihilo.
No, there's no creation ex nihilo, chas v'shalom. But we have an oral tradition, chas v'shalom, but the oral tradition is something which is not in the text, so it seems to us a little bit like more amorphous. And from that we create...
It's olam as well, though, in this...
Whatever this. No, this is the Chas v'shalom b'ris ha'olam. But anyway, well, Kadosh Baruch, that's how we perceive a Kadosh Baruch who's in the world. The Gula is not speaking about Kadosh Baruch from the side of Kadosh Baruch, how Kadosh Baruch reveals himself in the world. Kadosh Baruch reveals himself in the world through a text, the text of the world.
So for us, creation does not look like creation ex nihilo.
Well, good, no, because a person can't understand creation. The Kadosh from a conference on Kadosh Baruch. The Gula always says in every place is that creation ex nihilo is mitzvah Kadosh Baruch. It's not a Kodesh Baruch. We see the world the way it is, and from the world, Kodesh Baruch reveals himself in the world. That's the Ishtamud, the Goyen called Terezoya, which is quoted by the Ari, the Ramak. Everybody interprets it, of course, differently. But the Goyen says that Kodesh Baruch reveals himself. The revelation is not creation ex nihilo. Goyen speaking about God's revelation in the world. Creation ex nihilo, Kodesh Baruch created the world ex nihilo. The Goyen speaking about revelation. The world is a text. And the God is speaking about how do I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he creates the world through a text, through the either spiritual and physical worlds. That's the God is speaking about. Now, so in other words, the God here in his understanding of Chabad is very textual. It's a textual. He learns it textually. And he's speaking about the creation of a text from Chochmah and Bina, which are actually, in other words, but it's interesting that we, through the creation of the text, this is something which is interpreted because the thing which creates the text is actually hidden within the text. And by that I discover the true meaning of the text. So now you might ask the question, well, and before the going, where is this oral tradition? The going would say to you that this is in fact hidden within the text of the Safed HaSeyosa. Of course, interesting enough is that what actually a consequence of this is the going understood that he's not just a scholar discovering, you know, what a text is speaking about. The going is actually the text is just the means by which the Goyen actually continues the oral tradition. Very important. I understand in the Goyen that the Goyen understood that basically Kabbalah, first Hadista, is an oral tradition. And by just bringing this out, the Goyen basically continues this oral tradition for Moshe Rabbeinu.
An oral tradition which is not an oral, which is in the written text.
It's been encased in a written text. But in every, you know, in every generation.
There's no Masira.
Once in the text, therefore there's no, in other words, the Mesir is done through the interpretation of the text, but once those Yechidim, the Il the Kaddish, Il the Kaddishin, who are Zecha to understand this text, and the Chai V'Loshana says, so they are the people who can transmit this oral tradition. Now, I want to, this actually borders on actually what was the God doing B'chlal in Kabbalah, which I don't want to go into right now. Maybe we have another C.H.K.F.S.O.D.com devoted to Kabbalah Sagra. Because a lot of people take the Torah of the Gula and they say all these nice things, you know, this letter, that letter, he counts the words, this and that, all very nice, beautiful, brilliant vortlach, you know. But I don't think people really truly understand what the Gula is trying to accomplish. But in any case, that's another time, another place. Yeah.
If for the Gula, textualization is built into the creation process of the oral law, in what way do we still see it as bidyevet? The textualization of the oral law as being bidyevet?
No, because it has to be...
Very
well, the Chaim V'Loshe explains that, of course, these secrets were transmitted, had to be hidden in a certain time of history. Everybody says like that. The Rambam says like that, the Marina Vulchen. In other words, things which were transmitted orally at a certain time had to be hidden. The Chaim V'Loshe says because there are people who were... There were people who were not worthy of understanding these secrets, and therefore, because of that, they had to be hidden. So the text basically takes an oral tradition and hides it within the text. And then Yechidim means individual people in every generation who are worthy of this can bring it out. That's how the Gaon understood it. That's how the Chaim V'Loshe understood it. He writes that explicitly in his Hakdama, introduction to these Safed HaSeyosa. Okay, now, I want to, in other words, There's a lot to speak here, obviously. We could devote another series, a whole series like this to this. But right now, I don't want to go into the focus on the Gloa. The focus is, what do we see? We see that the Gloa is taking, speaking from the standpoint of what we saw in the Reish Lakish. We get to the Safar Amplatam Aleph, that really, how do you create a text? And this is true in Matan Torah. And this has to do with what Rav Tzadok said too. Rav Tzadok also said, because Rav Tzadok said a lot of things. Rav Tzadok said there was also an oral tradition before Matan Torah. And what Rav Tzadok acknowledges that there's also an oral tradition before Matan Torah. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu is part of the redactive, you know, redactive process. But in other words, the Gaon understands that when you learn a text, right, you have to understand an oral tradition which creates a text. And I think that the way the Gaon learned the Safra is the way they learned the Chumash too. Now, of course, this is not a Chumash Chas Shalom. It's not an oral text from people. It's Mipia Gvura. But the way in which we learn it, we have to understand the Chumash as a text which is created by an oral tradition. Even that oral tradition is the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this actually said none other than the Rashba in the Tshuva.
He's
grasping where the Luchas is, but it's about Matan Torah. The Luchas is the text created from that. I don't want to go to the whole Gaon. He's speaking about the Chumash. I'm just speaking about the concept of the creation of a text. That's what I'm speaking about. If this is what took place in Matan Torah, this is probably what took place in the creation of the Torah Shebichtav Zavto. Okay, in other words, we're speaking about the Luchas is also part of the Torah Shebichtav. I mean, the what's on the Luchais what's on the Luchais is in fact actually written in the Torah too. Let's go further, okay? If you're interested in what the Luchais are, we can speak about the Gemara Daf Nun Beis, the Bava Kamma. The question is asked, what was written on the, how come a certain word was written in the Luchais, second Luchais, not the first Luchais? We'll get into that Gemara another time. It's an Emes Lankov on that, but I'm gonna disagree what he says. But anyway, what I wanna do is I wanna look at a Rashba. There's a Shota Rashba, which is the Chelek Aleph. I believe it's Yud Beis. I'll tell you, the numbers of the Rashba are underneath the Tshuva, so I'm not sure whether the number here refers to the Tshuva 4 or Tshuva after. But I think it's Yud Beis. And there's a Shut.
What page is it on that?
No one uses Rashba.
No,
anymore.
But it's on Hebrew books like that. So what page is it?
Oh, yeah, I think it's Gimel, Dav Gimel, on Hebrew books, the first Chelek. Oh, very good. Rav Shekivanti. Okay, so it's interesting that the Rashba makes a statement. I'm going to read the Rashba and translate it. I'm going to tell you what Rav Chaim Heller says in his Hakdamah to the Sefer HaMitzvahs on the Rambam. Says Rav Chaim Heller, says the Rashba, She'ein haksuvim, he's speaking about the Chumash too, She'ein haksuvim shomrim hamilos, the ksuvim, scripture, speaking about all scripture, including the Torah Shebichtav, right? Shomrim hamilos, rak hakavonah. What scripture does is not to tell you the exact words. This is not the Rashba saying, but the intention behind the words. This is actually the Torah itself. I said, Rashba, this is the Torah itself. Gam baseras adibois kolakein. Also the seras adibois. I think the Rashba is referring to the fact that we see differences between the seras adibois and the Devarim, and we see it in Shmos. The like Pina Torah b'shmiras enyon. The Torah was marked, but only on the ideas, not the exact language. Now, Rav Chaim Heller says, this is not Pikosis. He said, I don't know if that's a quote from Rav Chaim Heller, he didn't speak like that. But Rav Chaim Heller says in his Hagdama to his Sefer HaMitzvahs, that this is certainly a forger, it's not from the Rashba. But the fact is that the Rashba is actually basing himself on Ramban al Torah, and the two Ramban al Torah he's basing himself is one in Bamidbar, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalad, and one in Devarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yod. That's an incredible thing.
He says that on the footnotes.
I think he refers to the Ramban. I think he refers to the Ramban here in the Tshuva. But if not, the Ramban says the same thing. I think he's coming for the Ramban. In any case, look at the Ramban.
How do we darsh now? Different things.
Wait. Right. So like this. What does this mean? This is incredible. I mean, Rav Chaim Heller. Hagoyin Rav Chaim Heller, right? Hagoyin Rav Chaim Heller. I mean, which Gadol in the 20th century came to him both in in Gafat, in Teir and Paiskim, and also in Chumash. Rabbi Yeshua Be'er Soloveitcher called him his rabbi. HaKoyim L'Abchaim Helles, this is not from that Hashba. Not from the Hashba. I want to say, first of all, you see from the Ramban of Chazal, from the Hashba. But I want to say, what the Hashba is saying is what I'm saying here today. The written text of the Torah comes from an oral tradition. That's what the Hashba is saying. The oral tradition transmits the concepts, the ideas, the yesodos, and the secrets of the Torah Shebichsav. And the written text is the text which is produced from this oral tradition. Now, oral tradition, of course, means Moshe Rabbeinu Pi HaGvura. But in other words, that's what the Rashba is saying. What the Rashba is saying is we have to look at the text as being something which is expressing in Ksav a oral tradition, which is the oral Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which begets the text. That's what the Rashba is saying. The Rashba is saying, who adova, exactly what I'm saying the last four classes. That's what the Rashba was saying, the foolish. And the Ramban says this, everybody says that. Who doesn't say like this? Anyway, that's how I understand, is in fact actually the understanding of the Rashba. And the Chas v'Shalom, this is not a ziyuf, this is not a forgery, the Rashba says that the Rashba knew how to learn Chumash. I also know how to learn Chumash. But I think that the Rashba and the Rishonim are actually expressing here the idea that there in fact actually is a oral law within which is embedded the written text. And the written text can only be understood within the context of this oral law, this oral tradition. And in so doing, right, this is the Torah, HaMesula, from Moshe Rabbeinu, which was intended that we should understand it and interpret it, upi the drachim of Chazal, the Gimel Midas, right? And in fact, this represents the true tradition of both the Torah Shelav and the Torah Shebi'al Peh throughout all the Deiros from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until today. This is in fact actually what the Rashba is saying, and I don't think it's nice, do I not think it's difficult? I think it's exactly what the Rashba understood, exactly what the Torah Shelav was. Okay, now, so what we got up to here, we've actually seen, I think, both in Rishonim, both in Achronim, and in Chazal, an understanding of actually what was the nature of this oral tradition and how it comes to create the text of the Chumash, either through creation of the text, as we see in the Gra, or and which is Shita of we're interpreting of Reish Lakish, or in the redaction of text, which is Rabbi Yochanan, as we saw in Rabbi Tzadok HaKoyen. Okay, now, the question is, how are we going to take this and use this in actually understanding the Chumash? Because this is really the proof of the pudding is that as much as we can speak in Yisrael's foundations, but where do we in fact actually see this actually exercised in the Chumash? And Amit Hashem, we're going to actually begin this actually pretty slowly. I want to focus the next year on Sefer Devarim and the relationship of Sefer Devarim to Sefer Shmois. In fact, actually, the Rashba said, even the Aseret HaDibros, the Torah was Shema on the Inyan. What does the Rashba mean that the Torah was Shema on the Inyan, in fact, actually in Sefer Devarim? So we're going to, Amit Hashem, next week, we're going to look at Sefer Devarim. We're going to learn the Ramban, Al-Chumash, and understand how, in fact, the Ramban employs this methodology in elucidating the very text of the Torah, Shebichsav, HaMesura Lanu, Limeisha Rabbeinu. Until next time, for an undisclosed location, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, be well.